Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
What are you doing?
I was going to give you my favorite line reading.
Do it.
Never going to be Annie no more. So,
no more.
First of all, happy Throwback Thursday.
You're like, yeah. Welcome, everybody. sure, whatever.
If you haven't listened
to we're going to have a chat. And you guys can listen if you want.
You can eavesdrop. You got to do other things with your time, but that's cool. Kevin and I, last week, we were talking about one of my favorite things, which is the Turning Point 1997 episode where the making of Annie, where they fire Annie. Kevin had never seen
and
it.
I was so completely like, wait, this is the, when I was 17, I should have been aware of this. Like, how did I not know? Why was I not watching this? And how have I never seen this until now?
And I just showed Kevin some of the clips from it.
Dear God.
And it's something. So I kind of almost want to say my favorite thing this week again is Annie again. So that way everyone has to go see, to watch it.
I'm not going to be Annie no more.
But you look how staged that was. Those shots of her, like, holding. You pointed that out.
I was like, and she's literally holding the Annie doll, looking out the window for the B-roll. And then they play, like, tomorrow, but, like, slow down piano solo version. I mean, that was produced. That was so overproduced.
And then Barbara Walters, before the commercial, is like,
never going to be no more.
And then, and more about Joanna Pichetti, who, at the age of 12, knows, like, what it's like to be fired. Savage.
Gosh, you guys.
Savage. Barbara Walters, you're savage.
Yeah.
Joanna Pichetti, who at age 12 knows what it's like to be a has-been.
Oh, my God.
Barbara Walters, calm down. The kid's 12.
Brutal, man. But who knew Annie would be so brutal for so many people?
Jeez, Annie's do you ever see that movie, Life After Annie, the documentary where they interview all the old Annies?
Yes.
I saw it years ago. I liked it.
Me same. I think I did, too.
Yeah, I liked it. I wish we had some more footage of Nell Carter's one song. Because I love Nell Carter.
You do, don't you?
I really do. Do you know that she was supposed to be the original Effie in Dreamgirls?
No.
That they wrote Effie for her, and then she dropped out to do a sitcom.
Really?
But like, it was Dreamgirls was being built around her. And then at the last second, apparently, she screwed Michael Bennett over and was like, hey, I'm going to go do a TV show.
Bye, everybody.
See you later.
Wow.
Yeah. And then it went to Jennifer Holliday.
What could have been?
Yeah. Although Nell Carter, God, she was brilliant. Ain't Misbehavin'.
Yes.
Her TV shows were great. But, you know, and I heard she was a funny Miss Hannigan. I never got to see it.
I bet it was. Yeah. I bet you that was a good.
She was going to do a revival of Raisin. And then she passed away during rehearsals.
Aww.
She's very young, too.
Yeah,
she's
way
like
too
in her
soon.
50s,
yeah,
I think.
Way
and
too
diabetes.
Soon.
Poor thing.
Sad.
I loved her as an actress.
Good old Nell Carter.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there was anything. I'm sure people are. Oh, she was in Hair. Mm-hmm. No, she was in Hair. I'm sure people are screaming other shows at us that she was in, but
I can't place another one either. But
I'm trying to think like if she had lived, what other shows she could have gone into and she would have been great.
Well, she would have done contemporary musicals, too. You know?
Motormouth Mabel.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
She probably would have been a great Mama Morden in Chicago.
Yeah. I would have seen a gypsy with her in it.
Nell Carter as Mama Rose.
I would have definitely paid
some
money for that.
Great idea.
Yeah.
That's a really, really great idea.
I would have enjoyed that at the Encores.
Oh, Encores? I'm moving it into the Imperial.
Oh, yeah, no, it would start there, and then they'd realize how, like with Patty. You know?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Like, that's instead of Patty, it would have been Nell Carter. I'm wondering what else she would have been in that she would have just, like, knocked out of the park. God, she was good.
Yeah.
That voice, that power, that talented.
In comedy.
Dolly. Oh, I think, you know what? I think this is on YouTube. I think she did do Hello Dolly somewhere.
Oh, really?
And I'm pretty sure, yes, I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube. And I'm pretty sure Nipsey Russell, the comedian, is Horace Vandegelder opposite her. Yes, what am I saying? Look it up. There is a Nell Carter Hello Dolly.
Okay.
Thank you, Rob. Mic drop. I put my hand in here. Let's put my hand in there.
Always for the op down.
Why would you option up? It's not worth the effort. I'm a voice teacher now.
Thank you, Rob. Yeah,
I hope you've enjoyed that. See any good shows lately?
No, actually, I've not. I've been remiss in my because all the holidays and all of that. I'm slowly getting back into the groove of seeing stuff. I need to, and most of my money has been going for the Europe trip. So
yeah, you excited?
Yeah,
Paris and Amsterdam.
That's right.
Ooh, I love Paris.
Hopefully I'll see some theater over there.
You want to see theater over in
Paris,
you told me.
I would like to at least see some theaters. I don't know if I'm going to actually see theater, but I would like to look at the theaters.
Have you been to Paris before?
No.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It really is gorgeous. Paris is one of those cities where everyone tells you how pretty it is.
Yeah.
And you're like, it can't be that pretty.
I know.
It's every street you turn on is going to just fascinate you.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. Are you going to do museums?
Oh, yeah. Paris will be, lots of that. All the touristy stuff, I think.
Do it.
Because it's my first time.
The best thing to do, I know it sounds so like touristy to do, but it's the best thing, is you know those buses?
Yeah, the hop on, hop off?
Yeah, do it. I did it, and it was the best thing I ever did.
All right.
Seriously, it's worth it.
Okay.
It's just so worth it.
Nice. Well, thank you. Good.
Of course. Are you going to take a day trip out of Paris?
Probably not, because we're only there for 4 days in Paris.
If you want.
Yeah.
I'm just suggesting. There's a bus that takes you to Versailles.
Yes.
You know, you go to Versailles for like half the day, and the other half of the day, they take you to Monet's Garden.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And you're back by the evening. You're back by like 8 p.m., so you still have like the evening and stuff. It's something really fun. Maybe you should explore it.
Okay.
Just throwing that out there.
All right.
I'm done.
All right. Thank you.
And then listen to Can-Can.
Of course.
I love Paris in the summer. I love Paris in the fall. Why, oh, why do I love Paris? Because my love. Because my love is near.
You can't not end it. yes.
When I was a kid, my parents used to sing that to me.
Aw.
But they would change. It wouldn't be Paris. It would be Robbie.
Aww.
I love Robbie in the springtime.
That is the sweetest thing. That's adorable.
You know, I got introduced to Cole Porter at a very early age. I love Robbie in the fall.
Oh, you like Robbie Goulet.
I like Bobby Goulet in the fall.
Yeah, you like Bobby Goulet all the time.
All seasons, all seasons. Speaking of things that you like.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18+. Mm-hmm. What do you like, Kev?
All right. This is something you kind of showed me, and then I'm just going to steal it. So, sorry.
I know what you're doing, and I'm so happy you are, because I think it's brilliant.
Wait, are you sure you know which one I'm going to do?
I'm like 99.9% sure.
So you like put me onto this rehearsal footage?
Yep, I'm right.
Yeah, of course you are. You guys... So this is when you'll get me, where I'll be like, how has this existed that I never knew? And this might be for the more nerdier, like theater nerd out there. But for me, if you're a student of the art form, it is, It is so, because first of all, when are you a fly on the wall of any professional rehearsal? You never are, because it's not allowed to be videoed. Like, it's a safe room. You're not supposed to do that kind of thing. But if you're, let's say, the 25-year reunion concert of the cast, original cast of Company for a Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS benefit, and you're getting together to rehearse again, all bets are off, and you're at Lincoln Center, and some intern who, this is 1993. So what I'm, oh gosh, it's so good. So what it is, is literally just raw rehearsal footage of the day or of the week, I guess you might say, leading up to this two performance concert of a Company by the original cast. And Hal Prince is direct. I mean, everyone is there. And it is, you are literally a fly on the wall. There is no frills. There's no commentary. There's nobody like, there's a couple zoom in moments, but really it's like they just set up the good old fashioned VHS recorder.
Yep.
They shoved it in the middle of the room and just everyone forgot about it because nobody knew what reality TV was back then. Nobody was aware of that. So they were all, you're watching all of these great musical theater stars be themselves in the rehearsal room. You see Hal Prince literally manhandle people into place. Like the part where he's trying to get stretched to like do it. Uh-huh. Of course, he tries to get stretched to do just a simple cross, but like go, if friends, if you know the terms, but like to cross around herself downstage. So like if she's going downstage left to cross out, but she keeps wanting to cross in. And he's like, no, Elaine, just go around them. And of course, God bless her, but Stritch would not. She just wouldn't do like the easiest thing possible.
But at the end, then she's like, you know what I'll do? I'll go around them.
Yeah. Like she came up with the idea.
Like, uh-huh.
So some of the things to look out for, because it literally is over an hour of this rehearsal footage.
Oh,
it's so amazing. And also just shout out to Dean Jones, who left the show like what, a month into it, because he's going through a divorce and it was too intense for him. And Larry Kurt took over. But you're having Dean Jones in this video. He's killing it. Like his singing is on point 25 years later. Starts with You Can Drive a Person Crazy. The ladies, Donna McKechnie is like, and Pamela Myers, and Ladies Who Lunch. You have Stritch basically marking through it. Stritch is not wanting to go full out. You can tell that she's aware that everybody's watching her, but because it's just kind of like running through the show, she's doing her Stritch thing. Her slightly insecure, but pulling focus, but like not quite doing it, but kind of commenting on it, making jokes about the song while she's doing it. Then you have the opening. They go into the theater for some sort of spacing rehearsal. One of my favorite moments of the whole thing is Donna McKechnie doing the TikTok dance. I mean, you're seeing the Michael Bennett choreography on her. It's Michael Bennett, right?
Yeah, it is Michael Bennett,
and it's
absolutely.
Stunning. I mean, it is absolutely, you can see how his moves were just made for her. I mean, her body is, and it's like at that classic late 60s, early 70s flailing of the arms, you know, like, it's like, how does one's body do that? And you don't have to go to the doctor afterwards. Well, she probably did. Then they move back into the rehearsal hall after they do a little, some spacing. And then, that's where you have like the manhandling going on and him, Hal Prince just basically, it is so technical where they go. I mean, he's like literally like number three, now cross over number four, hand this to her with your right arm. Now turn back upstage and say to them over your left. And then the way they rehearse as an actor, it would drive me crazy because they literally will go two lines, back it up, do it again. One more line. Now cross over. I mean, it was directing traffic.
Well, I had a friend who was in Prince of Broadway, and she was saying to me that like he would do a number, and like on the second verse he'd be like, okay, or on the third verse he'd be like, okay, hold on for a second, you know, use your right hand, not your left hand. Let's go back to the top.
Yes,
and they go all the way back
and
to the top of the song.
Through it while you're, because a friend of mine rehearsed with Pat Birch recently and said that he'd be in the middle of a scene and she's like telling him direction while he's performing on stage, and like I think that's a George Abbott old school.
It's very different. It's just a very different, you know, style of directing.
Like when, who was it that was telling Carol Lawrence? Someone was telling us about how when Gower Champion was firing them and he was like talking to her in the seat. And then was like, yeah, Kay, left hand up. So listen, what, we've got this new vision. No, Kay, take us to stage left.
Yes.
Who was that? Was that Carol Lawrence or Anita Gillette?
Anita Gillette. It was Anita Gillette.
For Carnival.
Yeah.
But so I think that was a directing style then, was to sort of like talk at the actors, get them to move where they needed to move, and then fill it in later.
Yeah.
You know? And you see it in this video. And this is not that long ago. I mean, this is, you know.
No, there's also the argument that I think somebody asked Hal Prince, and he's also like, you know, I cast actors – that know what they're doing. Right. So I don't have to sit there and explain motivation and objective. He's like, they're going to do that. So exactly. I have to be in control of the visual space.
You're exactly right. Well, you see it. I mean, you completely see it in this video because all these are like some of the best of the best, you know. And this is also when they're like, it's fun for them to revisit this work, and they're all known for it.
But if you watch that rehearsal footage, doesn't it look like they're putting on the play for the first time? Like they're also in it. And they're still, it's like 25 years
old. It's 25, 93 is 25 years ago from now. Do you know what I'm saying? So put that into perspective. Like, Jesus. Think, you know what I mean? So that's how far it goes. So it's not that far ago for us, but.
So when we do the Tommy reunion, exactly, that's what it'll look like.
There you go. Yeah. But it, yes. And you see them. It's just like it could be the Pepper Pot Players Community Theater. I mean, no offense, but it literally is like how everyone puts on a show, and you see it. And I expected to put on this like thing you sent me, and I was like, all right, I'll take a look at this rehearsal footage. Couldn't put it down. Could not stop watching it.
It's okay. So this was one of the most groundbreaking musicals in the history of musical theater. And we're watching the original director and the original cast put together the first scene.
Yes.
And even though they did it for years and years and years, they're still open. They're still exploring. Should I say it like this, Hal? Or Hal Prince being like, move here. No, wait, let me see what happens if you move there.
Right.
Like, first of all, it's a concert. They could have easily just been like, guys.
Simple. Yeah.
Like, we're going to get an ovation no matter what the fuck we do out there. But they're also interested in it.
The detail work blew me away. And then you see them put it together. And then you finally see the number. I think you see the number in the theater, actually.
Yeah.
They go. And then the last 10 minutes is like just like random like B-roll of just them opening night and then just mingling the crowd. It's like they set the camera up in the lobby, just press play, and then let it just roll.
Fine with me.
I don't know why that footage is there, who it was for. I'm glad it's on YouTube. I think it's an excellent time capsule for a certain era. And it really, show business hasn't changed that much. The way people direct has changed, but it's still just a bunch of people in a room trying to make something make sense.
Yeah, it's a whole different school of directing now, isn't it?
A lot of, well, there's many more schools then. I think before they were literally quite inventing it themselves, you know?
Yeah.
George Abbott, it was a handed down craft as opposed to a university craft.
I'm wondering, which it is now, which is a lot of like, table
until people figure it out themselves, you know, in
and,
what their path. Yeah.
Don't be a dictator.
Yeah.
And all that
all
stuff.
Those like school educational way of doing it. But I think
I remember when I was in grad school, one of the first directing books they gave me, it was so funny. It was a book called Fundamentals of Play Directing by these two academics named Dean something and Kara something. Anyway, the book is like 180 pages long. Kevin, 160 of those pages is about staging. The other, like, 20 pages is about, like, oh, this is how you talk to an actor. This is how you work with a designer. This is how you take a note. It's literally all that stuff about blocking. It's just, like, blocking, 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 staging, staging, staging.
Eek.
Because somebody would say, well, that's the only thing a director can control, really, is the staging.
I guess.
And I'm like, I can't work like that.
I think that there's a lot more to it than that, isn't
there? Yeah, like, I think you should have a good physical vision, but that can't be the only thing.
No.
I mean, I know some directors that as soon as it's blocked, they're like, I'm done.
Huh.
And you're like, oh,
can we fill some things?
We need some help. So you're right. That rehearsal footage is just so unique.
I love it. And in that they're all still, all the players are still there. They're all, you know, 25 years is a lot of time, but it's not, you know, like.
Yeah, the only person who had died, I think, between the original and that reunion was Charles Braswell.
Yes.
Who played Larry.
I think you're right. All the others are there, and they all sound great.
Yeah.
Donna McKechnie, are you kidding me? Her dance, that is so incredible. They sound great.
And they cut that TikTok dance now.
Yeah.
In most productions.
Yeah. I'm not surprised because that music arrangement is so Michael Bennett.
Yeah.
The dancing, I cannot imagine anyone else putting that on their body, the way that dance sits on her body. And of course, yes, everything can be redone and re-envisioned, but sometimes some of those Michael Bennett, Joan Robbins, Bob Fosse, that music was so catered to the way they did it. It's hard to extract it, I think, sometimes.
You know, absolutely.
It takes almost as brilliant a mind to reinvent it.
Yeah. They did it for the 95 revival.
Yes, the LaChanze one.
Yeah, and it was Charlotte Dembois as Kathy, which makes total sense.
Yeah, and she's one of that old school style of dancing.
I don't think it's... I don't think they include it now so much anymore. That sort of seems to just
they did in that most recent revival, but it was a duet with a tuba. It was just like a pas de deux. It was great.
Oh, with that John Doyle
I'm
one? Yes. Oh, you're being serious. You know what's so sad? It's like that I'm
you
like...
You really thought I was serious.
Oh, yeah, okay. The night that I
it
saw...
It Hammer Dulcimer.
When
it was
say?
A Hammer Dulcimer dance. It was great. It was called Tick Tock Tap.
Jesus God. The one that I saw... God, was it so... Never mind. I don't want to say this. It's so mean. No, I'll say it anyway. I saw that John Doyle one. And the only thing I remember from it was the young lady who played Marta during Another 100 People.
Mm-hmm.
She played the violin.
Yes.
And her chin rest fell off, and they all marched around the stage. And so every time she like went for it, they just kicked it. So the whole number was just this poor actress trying to get this chin holder back.
Violin player again.
I will not say who it was, but when I went to see that company, I was seated behind an original cast member.
Please, come on, was it Stritch?
No, I won't say who it was, because okay. They haven't passed, so I don't want to.
All right. It's the Sondheim rule.
Yeah.
You have to wait until they pass before you say anything about them.
And by the time they got to Side by Side, she threw up her hands and yelled in full voice, Jesus Christ, did they ever stop fucking marching? Because remember, the whole show was really just them marching back and forth.
Oh, yes.
And then when it got to Being
That's
Alive,
a very
and
Ethel Merman comment.
He sat down at the piano, she said in full voice, Jesus, I feel like I'm at the fucking Hilton.
Gosh.
Pianist. I won't say who it was.
God, it does sound like it was Stritch.
It's not Stritch. She's still
Stritch would have just rustled a bag around. I'm serious.
Yeah, my insulin. But she's well, Stritch saw that, right? Didn't Barbara Walsh tell us that Stritch saw
I
it?
I think so, yeah.
You know, that's intimidating.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
No.
I always love that Sondheim birthday concert where Patti LuPone
has
to
dresses?
Sing it. Yeah, right in front of Elaine Stritch. And bless Elaine Stritch, because she could have pulled so much focus. She watches her with laser beams, and at the end is the first one to give. She knew.
Well,
she knew.
Rob, that woman knew exactly
everything.
What she was doing. The more I think about it, the more I spend time. Favorite thing.
A world in which you're that savvy.
I know.
Okay. I was, once again, remember how I said last week, I was like, oh, I want to give you this favorite thing, but I'm not ready for it yet because nobody has it.
Right.
Okay. One of the things I wanted to talk about, but I want to do a little bit more research on, so I don't want to talk about it too much right now, is like Broadway HD and National Theater Live, which is filming wonderful Broadway shows and West End shows and putting them out there. I'm going to do some more research on that. I didn't want to give that to you now. The reason I said that is because one of our listeners sent us a bootleg version of the National Theater production of Follies that was broadcast to cinemas.
Yes.
And you can't buy these commercially. So somehow he or she got one.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. And I might have allegedly watched it and allegedly kissed the ground.
Yeah.
Because Follies is now preserved on film.
You're right.
Professionally shot. With Imelda Staunton, there are many people that are... have very specific opinions of this production
of Follies.
It's
funny how Follies really will bring up a lot of the opinions.
People
are strongly feel things about this production.
One of my earliest memories of coming to New York was I came by myself in 2005, and I was sitting by myself at the Westway Diner. And
you and Peter sitting right next to each other.
Well, it might have been Peter. There were these two old men behind me yelling at each other.
Peter and Ken.
No, no, no. You don't know what you're talking about. I was like, oh, Jesus, this is intense. Like politics, religion. Dorothy Collins was the best Sally I ever saw. No. You don't know what you're talking about.
It was Peter and Ken.
Donna McKechnie was the best Sally I ever... I mean, and
oh,
this
wow.
was like fierce yelling
oh, yeah.
at each other. And I was like, this is horrible, but I want to be a part of this world so bad. Because I'm like, you're all
clearly
wrong.
The Paper Mill Follies had just come out.
It's Barbara Cook. It's Barbara Cook in concert.
Oh,
she's
my
the best.
God, yeah.
Anyway, so I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about that for a later episode. But what I want to do is I want to talk about something that you brought up, which is you said this company performance was a benefit for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. Which is a really fantastic organization. And I want to talk about how Broadway Cares, Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS has impacted my life without me even realizing
it. Oh, yeah.
In addition to the wonderful benefits that they put on, they put out a book in 1992. And this book is going to be my favorite thing for today. Mm-hmm. The book is called Broadway Day and Night. Have you ever seen this or heard of it?
I don't recall.
It was put together by Ken Marsolis, Roger McFarlane, and Tom Viola, who's, you know, Tom is still really big over at Broadway Cares. And what this book was, it was a coffee table book that collected the stories of all different people that were working on Broadway from like 1990 to 1991, like that season. Mm-hmm. So it sits down and it interviews Helen Hayes and Joel Grey and Patti LuPone and Hinton Battle and Lilias White and Bill Irwin. And they all tell different stories about what it's like working in the industry. Some of them, they were all on Broadway at that time. So some of them are one page long, some of them are two pages long, with beautiful black and white photography. But one of the things that's so touching is because they knew it was specifically going to be for Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, a lot of them just wanted to mention people that passed away of the disease,
right,
that they wanted their names remembered and preserved for future generations to look at. It's over 300 photographs.
Oh, wow.
But not all production shots, orchestra rehearsals, costume fittings, what it was like going on backstage. And I think it's a perfect little time capsule of the early 90s on Broadway. So they're talking about Secret Garden and Miss Saigon and Tommy Toon's Bye Bye Birdie revival.
Wow.
And they're all, and it's broken up into different chapters. So there's like a chapter on rehearsals, and then there's a chapter on auditioning, and then there's a chapter on producing the show. But it's this beautiful, gorgeous coffee table book. You can actually buy it on Amazon now. The cheapest you can buy it for is like $8.
$2.50. Oh.
Forgive me, $2.50. And the reason that it's important to me is because when I was growing up, you know, we've talked about this a lot, that there was Theater World, and there was those in-theater, Theater Week magazine, show right. magazine that we read. But all the photos in there were usually production photos. Right. And all the stories in there, or Theater World doesn't even have any stories. It's just very biographical, factual information. This book showed you what it was like to work on Broadway. Mm-hmm. It showed you what it was like to be in the musical theater. And I would read that book just about every single day because it was my only connection to what that community was right. like. The personal workings of the community, not the factual biographical stuff, but what it takes to put on a show, what it takes to be an actor, what it takes to be a director. And some of the anecdotes in there are really, really fun. Joel Grey explains how he became the MC, how he figured out the makeup of the MC. Amazing. Robert Morse tells a really, really funny story about what it was like walking in on Walter Pidgeon in his dressing room and what Walter Pidgeon used like to use as a bathroom in the dressing room. Stuart Howard talks about casting in there, which is really, really fun. Lilias White talks about what it's like being a mother and doing two shows of Once on This Island while at the same time filming episodes of Sesame Street.
Oh, my God.
Bill Irwin has a really touching story about a person named Seth Allen who was his understudy in a play that he was doing who subsequently passed away of AIDS and wanting to remember that. Helen Hayes talks about, like, 90-year-old Helen Hayes, what it was like when she first fell in love with the theater years and years ago.
Oh, great.
So anyway, the book is called Broadway Day and Night. It's backstage and behind the scenes at Broadway shows from the 1991 to the 1992 season. The 91 to the 92 season. And like I said, the original intention was that all the proceeds were going to go to Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS. So I want to thank those three authors for compiling this book together. It's an amazing book. It should be, if you love musical theater and you love theater, it should be on your shelf somewhere.
Wow. And a shout out to Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS. That was the sort of the overriding theme today.
Yeah.
So without even planning it.
No. So bless them and bless all the work they do. And also, you know, we were the first college conservatory, I think, to do Broadway Cares, Equity Fights.
When we did Merrily We Roll Along.
Yeah.
When we collected for them.
Yeah. We were the first. And Broadway Cares came down and gave a wonderful speech to our students. And I always include it in my musical theater history class as a topic of discussion. So if after you listen to us, instead of asking you to give to Patreon, put a donation into Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS for us today, because the work that they do is quite, quite wonderful and quite impressive and still very important in this day and age.
Agreed.
So those are our favorite things. Company rehearsal footage?
Yeah, from 1993. Just type that in. Company reunion concert rehearsal.
And Broadway Day and Night, published in 1992, available at Amazon for $2.50.
Ooh.
The best bargain you can
get. That's a good one.
It's a great one. All right, till next time.
Bye, everyone.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.